Good morning, everybody. I'm Larry Jacobs. It's April 12th, 2022. We got a wonderful show for you today on teacher retention and recruitment in special education. So it combines by all the work we do with equity and access and the work we're doing now with teacher retention and recruitment over at ace-ed.org, which is our American Consortium for Equity in Education, ace-ed.org. And if you go over there, you'll see the links to everything we do with teacher retention, with all our podcasts archived over there, our social-emotional learning work at SELtoday.org. It's all linked together at ace-ed.org. I've invited several people here. Thanks to my good friend, I'm going to bring them all along because I got a whole list of people here. I'm going to just click on through our good friends over at CEC, Lori Vanderplug in particular, okay, invited several people here to talk about teacher retention and recruitment. We're going to highlight two states, and we're doing it right. I feel like I'm doing an SEC broadcast. We've got Mississippi and Georgia. We skipped over Alabama. Okay, blame Lori, not me, SEC lovers. Okay, and we're going to talk about all the wonderful things they're doing down there regarding special education, attracting and retaining an effective, this is a key word, special education workforce. Lori, are you there?
Glad I am. Yes. Thank you for having us back.
Are you kidding me? You're always welcome here, Lori, and the whole team over at CEC. And, of course, I work with the Council of Administrators of Special Education, Phyllis, and her group. They're always welcome here as well. Okay, let me just say a quick hello. Robin, are you there?
I'm here.
Hi, Robin. I'm just going to say a quick hello to everybody. Corliss and Julie, are you there?
Yes, Corliss is here. Good morning.
Good morning, I'm Larry, and I'll be back to you in just a few minutes from Georgia. I feel like I'm doing an SEC broadcast here from Georgia. DeShonda, are you there? Dr. Patterson?
Good morning. DeShonda is here. Yes, sir.
Good morning. Please don't call. That's a Southern thing. You have to call me Larry. Promise.
Promise.
You promise? Thank you.
Yes.
Okay. And Weena, am I pronouncing your name right? Weena Lowe?
Weena.
Thank you, Winna. I appreciate that. So, Winna, and I'm going to bring everybody back on. Winna, Special Education Director for Georgia Department of Education. But I want to start with Lori. Lori, you're Associate Executive Director for Professional Affairs, okay, over at CEC, the Council for Exceptional Children, a wonderful organization that I love working with. Okay, we know that across the board in every area there's a challenge with teacher retention and recruitment. Okay, and I'm going to give you a statistic, and I'm going to let you talk. I was talking to a district in Georgia, all right, and they told me that 20% of their teachers, okay, are uncertified, but when we go into special education, it's well over 50%. They can't find people, and this is a nice district. I'm not going to say who, okay? They're trying. They're doing their best. This the challenge is everywhere, but in special ed, where God knows we need it the most, okay, these kids are so important, all right? What's going on out there? Lori, tell us about the importance of retaining and attracting a special education workforce. Go ahead, Lori. Vanderplug, everybody. Go ahead, Lori.
It's a great question, Larry. And so, you know, you've heard us talk before that we have our three buckets around attracting, preparing, and retaining. And we're going to focus today on the importance of attracting and building that effective and diverse pipeline that we need so that we can continue to meet the needs of our children with disabilities across the nation. But we also have lots of efforts in place about making sure that we're meeting the needs of the current certified personnel that we have so we can plug the holes in the bucket and retain them so we don't have to be recruiting as many in. And both Mississippi and Georgia have some great strategies that they've embedded.
I love it.
Really good results. So looking forward to hearing from them as well.
Yeah, and thank you for bringing them along, Lauren, for the good work you do, not only in Mississippi and Georgia, but all 50 states. I mean, you're amazing, and it's such a challenge these days, the whole gang over at CEC. So let's go over to our friends. Let's start with Georgia. Okay, we'll go alphabetically here. DeShonda, are you there? Dr. Patterson?
Yes, Larry, I'm here.
That's great. And Winna, you're there. Dr. Patterson, I assume it's Dr. Patterson, right? DeShonda?
That's correct.
Doctor?
But DeShonda's fine. We don't have to be formal.
Oh, thank you. Okay. DeShonda is the Associate Dean for Faculty Development and Equity at Georgia State University, that fine college in Atlanta. Okay. And do you know my friend Goldie Muhammad down there? Do you know Goldie?
I do know Dr. Muhammad. She's not here anymore. She's in Illinois now.
I didn't know that. Where is she?
Yes.
Wow. Wow.
Breaking news.
It is breaking news to me. I didn't know that. Oh, my Lord.
Yes.
Okay, that's something. Well, you lost the good one. Here's the Illinois. Okay? But she's great. And so is your college. I got to tell you, DeShonda, it really is fabulous. Okay? And Wynn is the special ed director for the Georgia Department of Education. Okay? And, well, what an important position that is. All right? So, Georgia, okay? I'm just going to refer to you as Georgia. All right? Georgia, I'll start with DeShonda there. DeShonda, tell us about the partnerships between the educator preparation programs, local districts, and how you're working together. And DeShonda, you can pass it. I want you and Wynna to just talk to each other, and you just started here. Okay? Go ahead. Dr. Pass.
All right. Thank you so much. Well, one of the centerpieces of our work is partnerships. We rely on our local districts to host our teacher candidates and in order to help prepare them for the settings that they will eventually become teachers in. And so it's important for us to be good partners, to be responsive, to collect data. And so that's some of the work we have been doing this past few years through our CEDAR initiative. And through that work, we have polled our partner districts, our educator preparation providers, to ask them, what strategies are you using to recruit and retain well-qualified special education teachers? And many districts are utilizing strategies such as teacher residency programs, where they host year-long student teachers. They become embedded in their school cultures and their communities. And what we're finding is that the retention rates 1 to 3 years after graduation are much higher for our teacher residents.
Sure.
I'll brag
sure.
on the College of Ed. We have a high retention rate, particularly in urban schools, where we see the need for highly qualified and fully credentialed teachers are greatest, but our residents also have a very high retention rate, up to 89% 3 years after they complete their programs.
And I have to ask you, since you're in the college end of this, okay, how are we doing in recruiting students to become special ed teachers? I mean, once they're in, and these are very special people in and of themselves, if I may use that word, okay? But how are we doing in the pipeline of students, the cohorts within the schools themselves?
Larry, that's a great question. And I will say that the past couple of years, we have seen a dip in our enrollment in our teacher prep program. I don't think that's a state issue. I think that's a national occurrence.
It is. It is.
The work that teachers do has been highlighted, particularly in the spotlight of COVID and the ways that at-home instruction has occurred and people have a new and a renewed sense of the role of the teacher. I think we've got to really reengage people who have a heart for children and a heart for working in schools. And I think some of that's going to be through partnerships with, like the Department of Education,
mm-hmm.
to help create incentives that will attract people who have a heart, but who also need to feel like going into this field is going to be valuable to them in multiple ways.
That's so sweet to say they have a heart, and indeed they do. And the other question I want to ask you is, and this is a challenge across the whole country, and I think it's particular in special ed. You know, I'll give you my example, okay? When I was a kid in high school, which was 25 million years ago, all right, I really loved history classes, and so I became a history teacher, all right? But it's a little different with special education, okay? Not that many students, I don't know even if there is a percentage number, who are special ed students become teachers of special education. It's a different type of thing. Okay, so I want to ask, how are we doing? We got to get these kids who have a heart, like you said, and get them involved. And the other thing I have to say, and this is, again, across the board, and particularly in urban areas, okay, we need to get more people of color involved in special education, All right, because there's a lot of kids who need that in the great urban settings and the rural settings where there are a lot of kids of color and no teacher to match their particular look. So tell me, how are we doing on that, Deshaun? Let me ask you that one, on the college side.
On the college side, we are increasing our diversity. I think that's something we can say is happening. One of the things you noted was, you enjoyed history, so you were interested in becoming a history teacher. You know, the goal of a special educator is to make the curriculum more accessible. And so our students have the ability to enjoy and learn about history and math and all those things so that they might potentially want to go down that path of being a teacher themselves. Many general ed teachers interact with students with disabilities. And so even though one might not go into the field initially setting out to be a special educator, they might find that once they start teaching that part of the discipline attracts them. We also often attract people from the health who have an initial interest in healthcare, nursing.
That's a great point.
They see the intersection of delivering those services in an educational setting. So those are ways that we can continue to recruit and attract people with various interests and backgrounds and to make sure our pools are diverse in a lot of different ways, not just with ethnicity and race, but in a variety of ways.
I love the way you said that. Thank you so much. Winner, what's going on from the Georgia Department of Education's point of view with all this? How will we do it? And I know DeShonda and her team at the university level work hard to find the students, et cetera. How's that all affecting what you folks do and your needs at the Georgia Department of Education? And Mississippi, hang on. I'm going to get to you, I promise. Go ahead, Georgia. Winner, Georgia. Go ahead, Winner. I'm sorry if I called you Georgia. Go ahead, Winner.
We have a critical shortage of special education teachers in Georgia. Again, that would not be unlike other states across the nation, but we've taken active steps over the last several years to try to address this need. Of course, one of those steps is our active participation as a Cedar State. We take that work very seriously, and we're very proud of what we've been able to accomplish with the support of the Cedar Center and with our partners. Day has become one of my close colleagues. I know that if I need something that I can call her. There are numerous contacts across our educator prep programs that are participating in our state leadership team with Cedar that work hard to make sure that we are working together and coordinating our efforts and aligning areas that teachers may need to know about so that they can add that content into their prep programs.
Yeah.
One of the things that we're most proud of is 3 years ago now, we were able to write a grant from the Office of Special Education Programs in Washington and receive that for both our Part B and Part C services. And the Part B, of course, would be the 3 to 21 age group that I'm the state director for. We have what we call the teacher retention grant, and it's multifaceted. But what I want to talk about today is the goal one. The writing of that grant, and it was a very short timeline, about 6 weeks, is because I called the state leadership team together from Cedar and said, we have this opportunity. Will everybody help? And everybody said, I'll do this.
Wow.
And it all came together miraculously in the course of basically the month of July. So we were awarded the funding that really helped us get the kickstart. But what we've implemented this past year is a teacher induction program across our entire state. We didn't take it slow and scale up because we knew that the need was too critical. So every district that wanted to participate with their induction level special education teachers were able to do so. So just as Day has touched upon the effort that we work collectively with our district and with the universities on to recruit teachers such as your Grow Your Own programs where paraprofessionals that have an interest in becoming a teacher, they've made that route much easier through cooperation with the district and the university. But once they decide to become a new special education teacher, we have the induction program to support them. And we partnered, again, with some national partners with the Center on Great Teachers and Leaders and with the Cedar Center to make sure that we could deliver this program through our regional networks, our Georgia Learning Resource System. So we've had about 500 induction-level teachers participate over the course of the year. We've had over 3,000 in-classroom coaching contacts with that group, too. We didn't have enough funding just from the grant, and so our state, we were able to invest over $1 million additional dollars to go along with that for just this year in order to provide the coaching support, because we know how necessary that is. But the ratings, the evaluation results from the participants in this program have been outstanding, with relevant, the rigor, how they're able to use that in the classroom, with ratings over 90% from the participants. Now, the real proof in the pudding will be when we check to see if the teachers are back in the classroom in the fall and if we've helped increase that. But one last point I'd like to touch on is we've also supported our TAP candidates in Georgia that were trying to obtain initial certification through the Teacher Alternative Preparation Program, induction level program. And we have a lot of candidates that come into special education through that route, and but we don't retain a lot in the teaching field 2 years later. So we wanted to make sure, and they typically say they didn't feel prepared for the paperwork and additional responsibilities that come along with this position. So we hope that the induction program have addressed some of those needs as well. I will tell you that before we started the podcast this morning, I received an email from a gentleman that I hired as a local director out in Carrollton, Georgia, almost 20 years ago. He was a high school English teacher, but he really wanted to be a special education teacher.
Wow.
So this was coming out of student teaching as a high school English teacher. He came to me and said, I really want to be a special education teacher. Well, of course, you know, I could tell what a gentleman of character he was.
Absolutely.
And how dedicated he was. So 20 years later, he is still in the field, in special education, working on his PhD, and looking to move into leadership. And those are the success stories that we hope to achieve across our state.
That's a wonderful story, and I'm going to ask Mississippi when I swing over there. But I'll just ask you this: you know, I'm going to read the list again: Robin, Corliss, Julie, Deshonda, and Winna. All right, and Lori. All right, all female. Okay, and you just mentioned the gentleman who wanted to get in special education, and we were talking about diversity of the special education workforce. All right, and I'm just curious, how are we doing with men in special education? I'm going to ask Winna, and I'm going to ask the same thing of our friends in Mississippi. But Winna, since I've got you right now, how are we doing with men?
Well, in general, we know statistically that a lot of our teaching force across the nation is primarily female. But, yes, of course, we love to have men in our classroom. They typically relate and work very well with our students. You know, again, high on our priority list because that is part of our workforce goals to make sure that we have that blend. So, yes, that's always an area that we're continuing to work on.
Yeah, it's hard. You guys do so well. And one last question before I swing over to Ole Miss. Okay, in a football game between Georgia and Mississippi, who do you think would win, Winna?
Well, the UGA, of course.
Thank you.
The national champion.
Yeah, Deshonda, how would you feel in answer to that question?
I think we have to say Georgia.
You know, that's a very objective opinion, but I'm going to go over to Mississippi now and ask them the same thing, okay, if I may. And good answer from both of you. Robin, are you there?
I am here.
Robin and Corliss and Julia from Mississippi. I'll tell you about Mississippi in a second. Okay, Robin, Georgia versus Mississippi, who do you think would win that particular battle, really and truly?
So I'm not going to say the University of Mississippi. I'm going to say Mississippi State University because I am a Bulldog.
That's great. And Corliss, how would Delta State do? Corliss?
Well, I would have to speak with lots of optimism and faith and belief, but I'm going to say Delta State University.
Miracle there you happens. Go. There you go. And last from Waffle County, okay, Mississippi. Julie, do you have a dog in this race? What's going on? What do you think?
Well, I guess I would have to say Ole Miss because my daughter is there now, but my son was in Mississippi State. My another daughter went to USM, and my mother went to Delta State. So it's really hard to pick.
There you go. By the way, my Mississippi, my wife just got back literally a few days ago from a week in Mississippi with her girlfriend who lives down there in Long Beach and Bay St. Louis, and then over to Natchez, and they just had a blast. Okay, it's a good little part of the world, I got to tell you. All right, have you ever been there, down to Long Beach, down to the Gulf there, Julie?
Absolutely. It's a fabulous place.
Yes, it is. And Corliss, Dr. Snow, okay. What do you do over at Delta State, Corliss?
Well, for now, I coordinate our doctoral programs at Delta State. So if you've got anyone who's interested, they need to give me a call or shoot me an email. But I've worked with teacher preparation for elementary education and work on several committees, curriculum development committees, and also coordinate our recruitment and retention program.
That's excellent. I hope that's why we're going to talk about that some more. And Robin, you're special ed director for Mississippi Department of Education. Okay, I assume you're in Jackson. Are you in Jackson? I assume you are, right?
I am in Jackson.
There you go. Okay. So, Robin, tell us, let's start with you, okay? What's going on? You have collaborative efforts or retention strategies within Mississippi. You have the same challenges, okay, that Georgia and the other 48 states do, after the two of you, okay? What's the special ed shortage down there, and what's the game plan? Robin is the special ed director for Mississippi's Department of Education, which, by the way, I've worked a lot with Mississippi educators, and they are just lovely people down there. I mean, they are so dedicated, I've got to tell you. Go ahead, Rob.
We appreciate that. We've worked really hard. You know, we understand that as a lot of states across the nation, we have trouble recruiting special education teachers, but we were also having a great deal of difficulty retaining those teachers. So we were very fortunate to have been presented with an opportunity to partner with CEDAR, which is the Collaboration for Effective Educator Development, Accountability, and Reform. And so as a result of that collaboration with CEDAR, the Teaching and Leading Solution Group was formed, and we determined who needed to be engaged on that Teaching and Leading Solutions Group in order to mitigate the shortages. So we looked, and we have a diverse group of stakeholders, which include multiple offices within the state agency. And then we have early preparation providers at our institution of higher learning on that in that group. And then we have six local special education directors. And we recognize that each of those stakeholders really has a different perspective and a role in supporting teachers. And so their unique perspective has enabled us to get lots of input on strategies to recruit and retain highly qualified special education teachers, because we know that's so important. And CEDAR has really been instrumental in supporting and facilitating and guiding our work for the stakeholders. So really establishing that TLSG group really has been critical to what we've done to support this, you know, recruiting and retaining these teachers. We know that we need people that are knowledgeable and highly skilled. We need know that they need to know how to implement evidence-based practices. So lots of strategies. And I think Corliss is going to talk a little bit about some of those strategies. But, I mean, truly bringing the people together that had a diverse background and were supporting teachers in different roles has been critical to us being able to develop those strategies.
But it's so important. Corliss, you want to pick up from there? Dr. Snow?
Yes, I do. Yes.
Of Delta State?
I think that's correct.
Give you a little plug
and
there.
I think the collaboration that we implemented was very key. And as Robin mentioned, the diversity that we had, we've got the State Department of Ed who's supporting us, and we also have educator preparation programs at institutions. And I was one of those people, and I played that role. But we also have the school districts. And to start, we really needed to collect data to figure out exactly what is going on. We know there is a nationwide shortage. We know Mississippi was greatly impacted. But once we collected that data, it was eye-opening. For example, for the year 2020-2021, that school term, we had a little over 67,000 students with special needs or with disabilities. But our institutions were putting out only 199 graduates who would have been able to teach. And most of those graduates were not from traditional four-year programs, but from alternate route programs.
Yeah.
So in the state, from our data, we had almost 18,000 who were licensed to teach in the special ed classroom, but we only had a little over 4,000 who were fully licensed. So out of that 18,000, we also, in Mississippi, you could get an endorsement. So you could be a regular elementary teacher, and you could take 21 additional college credit hours to get an endorsement to teach in a special ed classroom. So we were already under the gun. But by the first day of school, we still had 146 vacancies, meaning some of our students with special needs did not have a certified teacher to teach them.
So what happens?
Using that,
what happens?
Yes.
What happens then?
What happens to those positions is that either they are not filled, or sometimes districts have to put someone there, and it may be a paraprofessional who's in that position until they can hire. So they continue to try to fill those positions.
I didn't ask Deshonda this, but and she mentioned that there's a mentorship program. But I'm curious, considering the shortage, okay, are the school districts, and Julie's going to be an expert on this, I'll get to her in a minute, but Corliss, I'll ask you, are the school districts tapping in to the education schools and saying, get your kids over here, okay? They'll see if they like education and we can use them right now, okay? Are we doing that and giving them a taste of special ed and all that sort of thing?
That's happening at random times, and it's not routine, but it's very uneven across the state and across the universities who offer those special education programs. Delta State is located right there in the Mississippi Delta, and we're surrounded by school districts who really need good special educators.
Yes, they do.
But we do not have very many students at all who want to pursue special education as a profession.
Wow. What we got to do, the states have to, in my opinion, just to put my two cents in here, the states, where we have these shortages, the states have to say, look, if you go into this and work for 10 years, we'll pay your student loans, something like that. The states have to set up, okay, and be proactive in this, okay? I don't care what anybody says. This is what they have to do because we've got a real shortage, all right? And you can move people in the right direction. And if we can get them in there for 10 years and pay off $150,000 in loans, that's not so bad. All right? That's not so bad. Okay? And, I'll tell you. Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, I was going to mention that the state is being very proactive with making sure we get people where we need them. And we also have a teacher residency program that we're working with. And a good many of those students are alternate routes, which means that they've got a degree in some other field, but they're wanting to pursue teaching. And so we're providing a forum and a setup for that so that they can get the on-the-job training with the residency program. And we do believe that's going to really impact our shortage because many of our students, even at Delta State, who are participating in the residency program are very interested in special education.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Are there a lot of kids? I don't know Delta State as well as it. I don't know if it's an HBCU or whatever, but are they are kids mostly of color? What's the diversity factor in there?
Delta State University, we're not an HBCU, but we are very even with our diversity. We may have about 56-57% Caucasian, and then we've got about 40% who are African American or people of color.
Nice. good. It's excellent. I just hope we're getting that diversity in there. I want to go local for a second. Julie, you there?
Yes, I am.
Julie, tell us about Walthall County, where you're special education director. This is in Mississippi.
Yes.
Where's Walthall?
Yes, Walthall
County. I don't
even
know where it is. Yeah, tell us.
Well, we're about halfway between Natchez and Hattiesburg. We're a very rural district, and when we get teachers, we need to keep them. So when I had an opportunity to be a part of this pilot program, I jumped on it. We have spent the year piloting this induction and mentoring program that's included mentor training, ongoing mentor supports, beginning teacher supports, not only for new teachers, but teachers up to year three, and then inclusive leadership support. To me, the biggest part of this is that it focuses on the high leverage practices from CEC. And then the administrator training is a huge part to me as well, because a lot of our administrators don't have a background in special education or know what makes a good, effective special education teacher. So that getting the administrators exposed to these high-leverage practices has really helped as well. Another big part is we have mentor and mentee check-ins to where they can go in and open discussions with the trainers, so they can share in an open forum and not be afraid to voice their concerns and get feedback. It's just been a fabulous thing, and I'm just really proud to be a part of this collaborative effort to attract and retain teachers.
I think it's wonderful. And let me ask you this: you know, most the standard student, all right, is not that familiar with what goes on in a special ed class. How could they be? Okay, they really don't experience it per se. Okay, and I'm curious, we always hear of grow your own. Every school district in the country tells me, as I do my shows, they wanted to grow your own for teachers, et cetera, et cetera. But for special ed, is there a movement to get, let's say, kids in Walthall County who may be thinking of it becoming a teacher? I'm sure there's a future teachers club or whatever. Okay, but do we get them involved in the special ed so they can see, again, I'm using you guys as an example, to see what it's like to be a special ed teacher? Because they don't really interact that much, all right, with that
Larry,
special,
we do.
With the special. Go ahead, talk. Julie, go.
Well, I was going to say, we do that. We, in our vocational program, we have a teacher class that goes in, and they're sure to include the special education classrooms as well as the general education classrooms. So that's been a big help to us. And then we also have paraprofessionals that are pursuing their degrees, and we provide them support for that. So because we don't get
that's
a lot
right.
of teachers that just come to Walthall County. We don't have a lot of industry here. And when we get them, we need to keep them.
Yeah.
So.
Boy, it's I'll tell you, it's a struggle everywhere, but rural education, which I talk about a lot here, we do a lot of work with rural school districts, it's very difficult, okay? It's very difficult to get people to go to a rural area and stay there, all right? And it's just brutal. Okay, Winna, I'm going to go back to you. Winna down in Georgia, okay? Are they working to do a Grow Your Own in special ed? Do you know anything about that? Down in the high school
yes,
level?
Yes, I do.
Go ahead.
Yes, we do also have a pathway in teaching, so we have that available for our high school students to explore that pathway, so they would take three courses in a sequence and have some internship opportunities as well. But when we're talking about Grow Your Own, I would defer to Dr. Patterson because she has led some of that initiative with Metropolitan School District, and she could share some of that.
Dr. Patterson, DeShonda.
Yes, I'd be happy to share.
Please.
So one of our very popular Grow Your Own programs is a teacher residency program that attracts paraprofessionals. Our goal is to build capacity in districts among school personnel who've already demonstrated a commitment to the field and who have ties to the community.
Please.
Many times, and the research shows that many times paraprofessionals have a tenure in their schools that aligned with or exceeds that of many of the teachers in the field. And so what we found when we worked with our stakeholders was the challenge for paraprofessionals was accessing the resources to pay the tuition to complete a preparation program. And
right.
so through some federal funding that we've received over several years, we've been able to provide funding for paraprofessionals in a couple of our local districts. And so they're able to complete their not only their initial teacher certification, but a master's degree. And, Larry, you can imagine
wow.
the life-changing
wow.
Transformation that provides for our paraprofessionals
Absolutely.
Who go from a parapro
wow.
salary to being paid as a teacher with a
wow.
master's degree in our
wow.
state. So the impact of that is very
wow.
profound. And what we're finding is that, again, because of their current commitment to the school and to the community, these are folks who are likely to be retained not only in the field but in the school. So we're able to make sure that the children in those schools are receiving high-quality education from folks who they know and who are committed to them and to their community.
Right. That's actually a wonderful point. I talked to a lot of superintendents and assistant superintendents, and one of them was lamenting that when he went to school in his county, okay, most of the teachers were from the area. And he said the teachers that they have now are not from the particular community, okay? And that ties to the community comment is extremely important. That's one of the ways people – that's retention, okay? They have a strong – they live where they're working, okay? And that's a very interesting point. I got to tell you, Robin, what's going on in good old Mississippi about all this with Grow Your Own?
Hey, there's a lot of work that we're doing. It started really with the support that we're providing our teachers. So as we look at those early prep provider programs, having a partnership with our institution of higher learning is super important because we
yep.
understand that a lot of reasons we're not able to attract or retain teachers is because they don't feel qualified to do the work. Teaching special education is very difficult. And so what we've noticed
sure
in our partnership is that those students sometimes are leaving with lots of regulatory knowledge, but not so much skill and content knowledge. So the ability to collaborate and provide those supports is one of the reasons that they're leaving the field. They don't feel like they can adequately provide for the various needs of all of our special education teachers. So really that strong partnership with our institution of higher learning to look at their syllabus and their course curriculum and what we're offering and to say, hey, maybe we need to have more classes on reading and that methodology and those, you know, the core components so that our students are better equipped to provide supports to those students. So that's been, to me, one of the best things that we've done. The other thing is that we are providing professional development to our teachers that are in the building. You know, as part of our mentorship program, we have a stipend that we're giving those individuals to mentor these other teachers. So I think that's really important because they're having to devote additional time on top of their full-time instructional day to support other teachers. So continuing to support them, we hope is going to retain, but also if we look and we're very supportive on the front end, maybe more teachers will see, hey, the state agency is supporting us. Hey, the
yep.
institution of higher learning are trying to provide this additional knowledge so that we can be more effective in the jobs we do. Maybe
right.
then we'll have additional individuals that want to go into the practice. Also, just creating an awareness of how important they are and making them feel like they
That's
deserve
key.
To be.
That's key.
Yes, they deserve to be known
That's
as
key.
Professionals. That's one of the things we
Absolutely.
Feel like we've not done a good job of. Doing.
Absolutely.
So,
that's actually the number one thing. I did a
mm-hmm.
podcast last week with a company called Qualtrics who measures all these types of things. And
mm-hmm.
the key that they found, most teachers were unhappy with the amount of input they were given as professionals. They feel they are professionals and weren't enough in the decision-making process. Okay?
That's
a key thing. People are always talking about let's give teachers more money. but teachers already know that it's a fairly low-paying profession. So obviously they're not money-driven. Everybody likes money, but they're not money-driven. There's something else because they've already got the heart for the profession. Okay, they want to stay. They want to be treated like professionals. You're dead on right. Okay, this is a wonderful conversation, but we got to go. So I want to swing back to my friend Lori. Lori, are you there?
I am. I just want to put in a little plug. You heard us talk about CEC and the Cedar Center, and we have a 12-part free webinar series that CEC and Cedar Center have collaborated on. It's on our exceptionalchildren.org webpage. It's called From Information to Implementation, Combating Shortages of Educators Serving Students with Disabilities. And, Larry, we have 20 national organizations partnering with us on this venture, and they actually have helped us design and will be delivering the content in this 12-part webinar series. So principals talking to principals about working conditions, grow your own and teacher residency programs that are exemplar models, talking to their peers about how to design and implement. We have the Office of Special Education Programs and the Office of Elementary and Secondary Education with the U.S. Department of Ed doing one on the federal funding and the flexible use of those funds. So it's free. I would highly recommend that if you want more information and know how to start getting into the action planning and delivery as Mississippi and Georgia are doing, I recommend that people sign up for the webinar series. It will be live, but it's also going to be recorded. So it'll be an asynchronous series that will be housed on the CEC website. So highly encourage your members to sign up for the free webinar series.
I hope so, too. And, Lord, don't forget to send me, okay, and any press releases you have on that, and we'll get the word out through our magazines and websites, okay? Just always feel free to do that. I know it's hard to remember, but we're always happy to do that for you. And one last question for you, Lori, okay? In a football game between Mississippi and Georgia, who do you think would win? Laura?
I'm going to say Michigan State University because I'm from Michigan and I don't know any teams in Mississippi or Georgia, Larry, so I can't help you.
Well, they don't have teams. They don't have teams. Only Michigan has a team, so that was a good answer. Okay? That was a good answer. All right. Hey, all of you, okay, let me run down the list. Robin, Corliss, Julie, Deshonda, Winna, thank you so much. And, Lori, what a team you put together here. You folks are wonderful. Okay? Thank you all. Thank you very much. Pleasure to know you. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're
Thank
welcome.
You.
Bye-bye. Take care, everybody.
Bye.
Bye. Bye-bye. What an incredible group. Is that amazing? Wow. Okay, talk about powerhouses. And I think Deshonda said it at the beginning, it's the old song, you got to have heart. You find the kids with the heart, get them involved in special ed, show them what it's like. Maybe we can develop a pipeline. All right, so we're going to archive over at ace-ed.org, our consortium for equity and access. Okay, everything we do is over there. You can follow the links, et cetera. I'm Larry Jacobs. Thanks for listening. Go to CEC, exceptionalchildren.org, and you'll get a ton of information over there.